This is the Rams Review Podcast. Discussions, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby County. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Rams Review Podcast. And it doesn't feel 5 minutes since the season ended, but it has been best part of 7 weeks, I think it is. So, of course, today, of all days, fixture release day, we thought, well, get the gang back together and we will start, hopefully, as we mean to go on this season. And there has been, we were waiting for a few bits and pieces have happened, and then obviously the fixtures and things like that. So we thought we'd try and get out a mini episode of the podcast ready for the main start, which will be now has been released in what's just over 6 weeks' time when we start fully for the fixtures. But we're going to run through all that. And for the first episode of the new season, he's decided to turn up. Corey, how are we doing, mate?
Jason, I'm trying to win the attendance award this season. My apologies, late last season where I turned into James Chester. Hopefully, I will try to be more present this time. But as you know, Jason, and as Jack knows, sometimes life happens, stuff happens, and unfortunately, when things happen, one of the balls that I'm juggling in the air has to be dropped. And unfortunately, sometimes it's the podcast because, you know, there's other things going on. But yeah, it's good to be here and it's good to release this little episode, this little mini episode between our two Rams Review meets. So if you haven't listened to it, go ahead and listen to Andy Appleby. I sat down with him and we have another Rams Review meets coming up in a few days after the release of this one, Jason, that we've had for a while that hopefully people will enjoy. And we're working on a few other bits and bobs that hopefully will be exciting for everybody in the coming season. But yeah, super excited about the fixtures. It's hopefully when I can start looking at vacation planning, because who wouldn't want to go to Port Vale on a cold Tuesday night to use all your vacation time up for middle of December. But yeah, super excited about it. And Jason, like you said, joining us again, as always, as with a more regular last season than what I was, is someone we're honored to call our friend, someone who has been doing great things in the world of football media. He's been talking to Derby University to be a part of their football journalist program. He's Pitch Magazine writes for them, and he does a lot of great stuff for us. Someone who's grown tremendously over the years, and I'm excited to have him back on board for the new year. It's someone, Jason, I think we're both honored to call our friend, Jack Bryan. Jack, absolutely. Welcome back for the new season, mate. I would say, how has the vacation been? But I've been talking to you pretty much constantly. So welcome back for the new season of the Rams Review Podcast.
Yes, thank you. I've got an introduction there, like some wonder kid who's come through the academy, which I think is probably generous. But yeah, I mean, you know, we had England on Monday night, Scotland on Tuesday night. Oh, that was eventful. Or wasn't for a while and was just a waste of time. So yeah, Doesn't stop, but we're back and, you know, excited for what should be a good season.
And as a side note, Jack, the football does not stop because, you know, obviously you've had the internationals in Europe. America have won the CONCACAF Nations League. They played Mexico in a fiery semifinal with 4 sent off. And in a couple of weeks' time, the Gold Cup starts, which for the uninitiated is the CONCACAF regional tournament, very much similar to the Euros, where America, Canada, and Mexico play in 3 separate groups. Wonder why, because they all want them to get to the final. And in one of the groups will be Guatemala, and they will be led by Derby County winger and Guatemalan international Nathaniel Mendez Lang. And he'll be tearing it up in Houston, Miami, and Red Bull Arena in New York. So looking forward to seeing that. And Nathaniel Mendez, like, strutting his stuff. Hopefully he doesn't come back injured. Did I just jinx it? I hope not. But Jason, let's get into the fixtures, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly the first talking point on the podcast. As you say, no, football is not really died away, has it? I've enjoyed a splendid 5 days watching the Ashes cricket. It's summer cricket, Ashes, that's me all over. So really football becomes as a bit of a hindrance. But obviously the Ashes sort of die off when the season starts. So I don't mind. I don't
Did
not mind
die
that.
Off when, what's his face, the captain, Ben Stokes, made that decision to declare and gave Australia, oh, we got enough. And then Australia beat him by 2 wickets. See, I'll follow it. And they're at Trent Bridge today as well, a place where I have been. WG Grace's bet is in that pub outside of there. So yeah. Excellent.
Yes. Yeah, but it's been Yeah.
Women's Ashes. That's what it
Yeah.
is.
Yeah,
They're
the
only
Women's Ashes. Yeah. I
points
know
based.
they do sometimes have one at Derby there. I don't know. I must admit, I've not seen the schedule for the women's. I've been focusing on the men's. But we aren't a cricketing podcast. We are a footballing podcast. So we shall digress with the chat about the Ashes. But yeah. And yes, as we say, one of the main reasons why we got together, we was always planning on doing this anyway, because it's kind of our season curtain raiser as a podcast. And then obviously there has been a bit of other bits and pieces happening this week. We've had some new signings. So, we're gonna have to touch on those as well and welcome those into the Derby County family. But as I say, fixture release day, Corey, it's a day that I've looked forward to. It's a day that, as I say, on the podcast, we always do use that as a bit of a catalyst for the first one. And I must admit, I've been thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. And then I got tied up that much. I checked the fixtures at 12:10 this afternoon. So that's our good eye. Was that it? But I want to throw out, as we always do, I'm not going to run through, obviously, all 46. That'd be daft. But,
Let's go through
we
the let's should we go through the first five though,
yeah,
Lewis, and then
yeah,
look at the festive period and then look at the run-in?
we kind of kick, yeah, we that's what we kind of do, isn't it? We kind of kick off and look
So
at various bits
we
and
start off at
pieces.
home against Wigan. We go to Burton away, Oxford at home, Fleetwood at home, and then Peterborough away. So three of the first five at Pride Park in what'll be a kind of busy first month of August. Included in there is also we do have a home game against Blackpool in the Carabao Cup. And I'm sure at some point there will be some EFL trophy fixtures thrown in, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But, Jason, for me, from a league perspective, looking at the first five games, no game at this level is easy, right? We found that out last season. But I think what it shows is that there is a real opportunity here for the Rams to put some points on the board early, to establish ourselves as a front runner in this division, and hopefully start as a means of the way we want to go on and continue this season. I think when you look at Wigan, you don't really know what Wigan side's going to come kind of at you. They're starting the season on -8 points after the points deductions that they've had. They've got some ownership issues, changing hands, and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see the Wigan side that kind of roll up. Burton Albion away, 4,000 or so at the Pirelli. We know that they put out a tweet that was like, "Here's our big Derby games this season. We've got two against Derby and two against Port and Vale." So they're trying to really build that one up. Oxford's an interesting team. Obviously, Ricardo Rodriguez is signed for them from Notts County, someone that we were linked to. We've got the Cod Army at home, and then obviously we go to Posh away, which is Posh away is never playing Posh anytime is never easy, but especially Posh away. But for me, looking at it, Jason, I'm very buoyed with the fact that we've got three home games out of the first five league home games out of the first five. And like I said, it's an opportunity for us to really kind of establish and start the season as the way we want to go on and really hopefully drive to work the upper echelons. I know when we were speaking at the podcast last season, we were saying, hey, we're going to be really helpful and really really pleased if Derby's kind of fighting in and around the playoffs. I think that was a common thing that we kind of all thought about. They ultimately did not go into the playoffs. We obviously did not go up. But it gives us an opportunity this start to establish ourselves as one of the front runners in this division. That's the way I looked at it when the fixtures came out. And I thought, hey, we could have tougher games. There are no easy games, but this is a pretty good start, I think. And I'm not going to sit here and say that we're going to take 15 points because we won't. But it gives us an opportunity to sit there and establish ourselves very early and set the pace for the rest of the season. And I think that's the most crucial thing to me, especially with those three home games, because we know how good we are at home. Get some points on the board early and have other teams start chasing us, and let's start leading that pack.
Yeah, I kind of looked at. I agree with you. Those first five, yeah, Peterborough away is probably a toughie. You're right, Wigan. You're not quite sure what they're going to face, but you look at it as we say, football's not played on paper, but we look at it on paper. It's a. I don't. I'm not going to use the word comfortable. I was going to use the word comfortable. It's not comfortable. It's favourable. It's a favourable start, I would argue. I'm going to sort of toss in the other side of the coin as well. We sat here 12 months ago. Well, if we sat here 12 months ago, we'd still got four players. But obviously we've got a few more than that now. And we said, Derby, I think it's fair to say, flattered to deceive at the beginning of last season, and didn't pick up enough points when ultimately the quality that they were up against, they should have taken more. This is an opportunity, like you say, to really start on the front foot. But again, already we've had three come through the door, which we're going to be talking about a little bit later on. nobody knows how many more are coming through, but you know, you would probably assume at least another five or six, you would hope. And so yet again, okay, you've not got to blend 15 players together, but you still have got to blend you know, the best part of seven or eight signings together. Pre-season's going to be a big one, obviously, because he said that he was hopeful of a couple more before they actually start for pre-season. That's what he wants. And then obviously it's just plugging gaps. And we know how the pyramid works, Premier League teams, you know, and the domino effect. And if we can get a couple of loans in and what have you. But he wants his core bunch in there, I think, for pre-season. And that will then give us hopefully a bit of a better foothold than we sort of had last season, Jack. And, you know, as you said, as Corey mentions there, those first five, I think you would be disappointed if you'd certainly, I think you'd, not to blow our own trumpets, but I think you'd be disappointed if you didn't come out away from those five with at least two or three wins. And, you know, probably I'd be aiming, if you're going to aim high, which I think we are this season, you know, Peterborough's going to be the first test of the season. But you're going to want to get through those opening five games and probably be unbeaten out of them. As I say, anywhere in the region of 7 to 10 points and unbeaten out of that first five. And, you know, you've started the ball rolling, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, so unbeaten would be nice, you know, as you say, from the perspective of aiming high. I think more than one loss would certainly be a disappointment, wouldn't it?
Mm.
I think one loss, maybe against Peterborough or somebody else springing a surprise. As we say, there are no easy games at this level, but if that happens on multiple occasions, if we don't get, you know, two, three wins, as you say, it will be a disappointment. I mean, going back to last season and where we're starting now, if you think back pretty much a year to the day, we all sat here and did this same podcast last season where we looked at the fixtures, we looked at the squad and looked at what was coming next. We went away and we thought, oh, do you know what? David Clowes Sports Stadium, the club, you know, the club should be all right. It's going to be a heck of a rebuild. It's not actually too dissimilar. There's going to have to be a fair few signings. I mean, we've got three in already. I'd be surprised if the number of signings doesn't kind of touch on double figures. I wouldn't be surprised to see it hit kind of 10. What we've got this summer, touch wood, at the moment, we've got stability. We've got, as I said on the end of season podcast that we did, you know, this is Derby's hopefully first normal pre-season uninterrupted by a pandemic or managerial changes or any sort of off-the-field issues for 5 years. So that's a huge advantage. And this now is the time where we can really start to judge Paul Warne and his team, because he's having the opportunity to put his stamp on it here. So yeah, we can focus on the football sat here. Hopefully it's not going to be like last time where we're going to finish this and 2 hours later we're all going to come back and go, oh no, the manager's gone, everything's screwed again. And hopefully we put all that to bed now and we go to, for probably the first time since you started this podcast, Jason, to be perfectly honest,
absolutely,
we're talking about a normal football club.
We are.
He says... I might have cursed that. I hope not.
I think, Jack, that's the real key. And that's the reason that I looked at the way I looked at the fixtures. Because the first thing I was looking at is the tail end of the season, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But when you look at the first five, I think last year we didn't really know what to expect from teams, right? We were all kind of like, well, Derby's not been down here in over 30 years. We don't know some of these teams. We've never even played some of these teams before. And then I think with where we were a year ago, we were kind of a bit of trepidation, like, well, we don't know what we're going to get from some of these free agent players that we signed, players on a free. You know, maybe Connor Hurahan, there's a reason he's dropping to League One. Maybe there's a reason Ditzy's dropping to League One. You know, they were obviously class players for us, but, you know, how would the young players react? And I think what you said there is the stability is the most important thing that we could potentially have. I think, you know, Paul Warren's had this extended look at the players, and he's trying to mold the side into his image. Right, wrong, or otherwise, whether you're on board with Paul Warren or you're not on board with Paul Warren, that's perfectly okay, because I've made my thoughts perfectly clear kind of where I sit. But, you know, it is some stability in the football club, and it is relatively normal. We're having a relatively normal closed season. We're signing players. There are rumors that people want our players. We have fixture releases. Then you're going to have the kit release. The lads are going to be back on Thursday. So it is very, very normal. We're not talking about off the field matters. And so this year really feels different. And I just think that when you look at those first five fixtures, that's why they're so tasty, because we played most of them last season, the exception being Wigan. And then, you know, we kind of know not what to expect because they kind of change, but you kind of have a general idea, and you just kind of feel this year with the caliber of players we've already brought in, that this might be something that we can really, really kick on with. Jason, should we move on? Should we move on real quick to the festive fixtures and then look towards the end of the season?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, I was looking through the fixtures and I was looking at sort of, you know, like you said there, we've kind of got a gauge on a lot of teams now, and I was just looking at the teams that when we first come up against teams who obviously have been promoted and teams who have got relegated, and I completely forgot Wigan were in the Championship last year, so that tells you something. So straight off the bat, we've got a recently relegated side. Our first promoted side, just pointing that one out, is obviously Northampton. In fact, we play two in the space of 14 days, when Northampton come to Derby and we take the trip up to, at the time of recording. Paul Simpson's Carlisle, and then obviously we come up against Blackpool, as you said, in the cup, but then we actually play them in a league on a Tuesday night, two of those for the EFL. That is ridiculous. And then obviously who's the other, Stevenage, obviously coming in at the back end of October, our first game against them, and then my birthday, Reading away, or 2 days before, after my birthday, Reading away. Hate the Medeski, been so many times. Not interested in going, so that's a bit of a boring one for me personally. But then again, it's a lad's day out, so we may well end up going that. And then I think one of the final point me out, guys, if I'm wrong, but one of the final newer sides, Leighton Orient away, just before we turn into those festive fixtures. And as you mentioned it there, Corey, Boxing Day away, Wigan. I've done Boxing Day on Wigan before. Wigan on Boxing Day before. It's a good laugh, but I'd prefer to be at home on Boxing Day than on New Year's Day. I don't know why. That's just a tradition of mine. Some years we don't get any, but obviously this year we are at home on New Year's Day, and obviously we haven't got a crystal ball, but Peterborough at home could be, you know, a real big one in a charge for that top end, sandwiched in between a trip to Oxford. So, you know, again, we've mentioned it many a times, not a massive amount of travelling in that space of 10 days, which is always nice. And obviously kicking off the new year, 2024, with that home game against Peterborough.
2024, wow, that sounds like, that's very Orwellian, like into the future, like, whoa.
And it does feel it. And then, as we say, they're the festive fixtures. And then, obviously, we roll through. And then let's look. We'll go a little bit.
I looked at the running, Jason. I was looking at the running, because that's the first thing that I always try to look at, right? Because we knew last year we needed some points on the board to get into the playoffs. And we're thinking, okay, who's the running? So that's always really where I start. You know, we've got Wickham away, Leighton Orient at home, Cambridge away, and Carlisle at home to kind of finish it out. And, you know, Pompey before the Wickham game as well away. So when you look at it, though, you're thinking, again, that's not a bad end to the season. That's not a bad run of four or five games.
If you get the Wickham, get the Wickham game sort of out of the way, and
and it's Leighton Orient, Cambridge, and Carlisle
to possibly win something, possibly secure something. You'd think that you'd back yourselves to do that,
and you don't know really where the other teams are going to be in the league, right? We have no idea what kind of version of Leighton Orient, Cambridge, or Carlisle are going to show up. They could be complete and utter garbage and fighting for relegation. They could be fighting for playoffs as well. So it'll be interesting. But I think on paper, when you look at that run and you're thinking, hey, start's not too bad. We can pick up some points there. And the ending's not too bad. You can pick up some starts there. And then really, when you look at the whole fixture list as a whole, Jason, I don't really think there's not a spate of two or three games, really, when you're thinking, wow, this month, this stretch of three games, this stretch of five games is going to be really, really tough. And obviously, you know, we're going here in a perfect world, everything on paper, but you know, sometimes you see it in like the Premier League, where a team will end up playing, you know, five of the big six in a six game window. And it's like, well, they're not picking anything up. And, you know, it kind of erodes confidence. I don't really ever see anything. I'm sure there'll be some banana skins along the way, but you know, it looks very favorable at the front end and the back end, and especially around the festive fixtures as well. They look relatively tasty, relatively winnable, and they look winnable at the right times to be able to kick you on when you need to progress and when you, like you say, need to secure something or potentially win something or potentially avoid something. You never know.
Well, there's stuff to avoid in this division as well. Yeah.
I'm just very excited for this season. I think it should shape up really, really well. When we turn our attentions away from the league fixtures, Jay, for a moment, and look at the cup games that we have, we do have Blackpool in the first round of the Carabao Cup at home in August. I think that's August 3rd is the game is scheduled to be played at. So
8th, I think it is, or something like that.
Yeah somewhere in that window.
Yeah, 8th, because that is the Tuesday. I'm just doing the maths.
Yeah, the 8th. Okay, that's right.
We start Wigan's the season on the 3rd, Saturday, 5th.
Yeah,
5th. Wigan at home.
Yeah, but, So, you know, Blackpool at home, decent outfit, had just come down. Don't really know why they went with Michael Appleton, because he basically just ruined that team. But they've got Neil Critchley back in charge, someone who I rate very highly and hit well in Blackpool last year. So good litmus test for the Rams there. But again, and I'll preface this with going on to the conversation about the EFL Trophy. I'm not really too miffed, to be honest, about the Carabao Cup or the EFL Trophy. Would it be great to win the EFL Cup? Yeah. Would it be as great as winning the Papa John's Pizza Trophy? Probably not. That would, you know, it'd just be better to win the Pizza Cup, right? You want a pizza me? But I can't use those puns anymore, so I'm a bit irritated by that. But, you know, we're not going to win the Carabao Cup. A Premier League team is going to win the Carabao Cup, so there's no point. You know, yes, it's great. It's great to get players' experience, but I think we have a bigger task at hand of trying to get promoted. You know, we do well against Blackpool, great. If we get knocked out in a couple rounds, that's also great, too. I'm not going to cry any sleep over it. And for the EFL Trophy, we have an interesting group, Jason. One, I think, that looks very, very tasty indeed. Lincoln City are in that group. Wolves under 21s are in that group, as well as Notts County. So the return of David McGoldrick to Pride Park and us visiting Meadow Lane. That should be a Kraken. So there should be some Kraken encounters. So again, excited about that. But would I be too worried about if we didn't win the EFL Trophy? No, because solely focused for me, Corey Hancock, the co-host of the Ramsview podcast, I am solely focused on one thing, and that is the league this season, because I think we have bigger fish to fry than the cup competitions, which ultimately you can use a lot of players and you can use a lot of resources and put a lot of time and energy into something that, you know, you're more than likely, the odds are against you, you're not going to win. So if we get to lift a trophy, fantastic. I'll certainly get my champions t-shirt printed, but until that such a time, I think, you know, we just need to really focus on the league. But those are your first kind of open fixtures there, Jay.
Yeah, Paul Warnes won the EFL Trophy with Rotherham when he took them up. So maybe he will utilize it. Last year, I think we got it wrong, but we had 15 players. You know, what I mean, fit players. One thing that we were last year to this year, it's going to be a similar amount of numbers, but the numbers are going to be much more experienced this year. The depth's going to be there this year, you would have thought. So yeah, maybe he takes a crack at both, maybe he does. But yeah, they're the two opening cup competitions. So as you say, they splatter even more fixtures through the months of August and September. But before all that, which is something we completely forgot, obviously we've not done a podcast, we've not mentioned it, something before all that kicks off, Jack, I'm going to let you run us through the friendlies, because There's a couple of local ones. There's a testimonial, not a testimonial, to talk about, and then a very bizarre game against Salford City somewhere in Alicante in Spain.
Yes, there is. It's that one really is quite bizarre. I mean, one thing to just come in on, if we're looking,
they just take
him
to Skegness, Jay, and play Skegness Town or something. I mean, I like a bit of Skeggy, I do. So Skeg Vegas, it's Skeg Vegas now. Could just take him to Skegness rather than go to Alicante.
I've not heard that once, to be honest. But yeah, one thing to just come in on, if we're looking at that run-in, we've talked about the final five, we've talked about Blackpool at home in the cup, but Blackpool at home in the league is our, 41st game of the season? So the last one before the final five. Now, that's on Good Friday. And if you look at the teams coming down, you look at Reading and Wigan, who've had various issues over the summer, Blackpool of the relegated teams are the ones that you think are most likely to be up there. That could be a little bit of a, if all goes well for Derby, if we're not being overly optimistic, that could be an important game, actually, before you go into that run-in, that final five. So in that sense, the top game early on will be a good test. But yeah, the friendlies, we start away at Matlock Town on the 8th of July. That's 3 o'clock kickoff. And then the following Saturday is Salford City, owned by, of course, Class of 92. That is at Pinatar Arena in Spain, and that is in Alicante. So it's a bit of a weird one. That arena will be familiar to one or two people, perhaps. That's they have a women's international tournament there every year in March, friendly tournament. So that's it's that place. I thought I recognised it from somewhere, and I googled it. So yeah, there's a decent little setup there, but it is quite small. I think they'll get too many fans in. Then 19th of July, 7 o'clock kickoff on a Wednesday night, Chesterfield away, before Craig Forsyth's testimonial on the 22nd of July, 3 o'clock kickoff. Championship Stoke come to Pride Park as we celebrate 10 years of the rounds number three. And then,
yeah, I mean, it's not the most sexiest testimonial I've ever seen, is it?
No, really? It's not. It really isn't. But do you know what? It's what they could get. And then, actually, yeah, to finish it off, 29th of July, week before season starts, Premier League opposition come to Pride Park. Another Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff, of course. And it's newly promoted Sheffield United, the Blades, including former Rams Max Lowe, Jaden Bogle, as it stands. You know, that will be another tough test. But I think people have been quite underwhelmed, haven't they, by the friendlies. But there's a couple of interesting ones in terms of the test against Premier League opposition, even playing a Championship side, you know, is somewhat a decent litmus test. And then just the all-round weirdness of playing Salford City in Spain. Mm. I mean, who would have had that on the bingo card?
Didn't we play them last year? We played Salford away, and we played Sheffield United.
Yeah, we played Salford away in pre-season, and then they came to Pride Park, and we had a penalty shootout in the Carabao Cup or something like that.
But yeah, two years ago, under Rooney, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah, that was it.
I thought I recognised.
3-3 and the Carabao Cup first round, and Ravel Morrison scored that.
Oh, yes, he did. Yes. I thought I recognised it. I'm saying, I know we've definitely played Stoke before in pre-season. We've definitely played Sheffield United before in pre-season in the last couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, they straight away, we're back into the thick of it with the fixtures. And really, the next talking point, the final talking point for this smaller episode is incomings and outgoings, which there has been a few of, so we're gonna chew the fat over that next. Before we get back to the episode, we wanted to announce new for this season, we've decided to sign up to Patreon. We feel this is the best way to allow fans of the podcast and all we do on our social medias and website to show us support if they wish. All money generated will go back into the podcast to try and make things even better. We've decided to launch 3 tiers. Basic support for £1 a month, just your way of saying a little thank you. Supporter at £3 a month, this is a bit more of a thank you, and you'll also get a chance to join our private social media group with a few more perks on the way. And finally, super supporter, £4.50, this is a tier where you'll get automatically entered into all giveaways and get special promo codes from our growing partners. You'll also, if you want, be able to have more of a say on actual episodes and interviews, etc. And of course, get to meet us and see how things work behind the scenes here at Rams Review. As the Patreon grows, the rewards will grow, and all episodes will always remain free. Sign up now at patreon.com, Rams Review Podcast. Thank you very much. So then, final bit of chat for this episode of the podcast, and we had an inkling that some might come in at the beginning. Obviously, the transfer window opened, what was it, late last week, I think, officially. And obviously, they start to then comment, you know, obviously players who have signed pre-contract agreements and things like that. And there was a little bit of noise. I did like the way that Derby County put it out on Twitter. Thought that was quite a nice little way about doing it. We're looking at it. We mentioned it a little bit earlier in the piece, Jack. In the previous piece, sorry. It's Paul Warren's going to be judged now. We're not signing 32, 33-year-olds who are free transfers and, you know, no other clubs are interested in them. We're signing players that he believes are good enough to get Derby into the Championship and then sustain us in the Championship. It's a different pond we're fishing in this time. And the three that have come in so far, run us through them, Jack, and give us your opinions on them.
Yeah, so this is the big thing. We're looking at three players who've all won promotion from League One before, who have all, you know, played a season in Championship football. Players that are, you know, very much proven at this level. So first one was Joe Ward from Peterborough, who can play anywhere down that right-hand side. He's, and all three of them as well, and this is something that we hopefully won't have to talk about much more, are in that kind of peak age bracket, aren't they? That's the key. Rather than, as you say, signing these kind of mid-30s players. But yeah, Joe Ward, anywhere down that right-hand side. I imagine he'll operate for Derby as a right wing-back, because I think we all expect Paul Warren to go in the three at the back that was played towards the end of the season. We know he favours that. And if he sticks with the kind of two number 10s almost behind, you know, narrower behind the striker, I really would expect Ward to be the wing-back and not up there. But he can play further forward, so there's options there. He's got a long-range goal in his locker as well. We saw a few of those.
He's got an absolute hammer of a right foot that we saw in the playoffs. He can put the ball in the back of the net, that's for sure.
Yeah. And then Josh Vickers, only played a few times last season for Rotherham in the Championship. But the year before that, when they won promotion under Paul Warren, he played 20 games, kept 12 clean sheets. He's somebody who is obvious evidence of Paul Warren's kind of recruitment policy being so heavily influenced by having the right characters. That's something that we spoke about towards the end of last season. Of course, it's important for every manager that Paul Warren, for his recruitment of players and non-playing staff, a lot of it is about their attitude, their drive, how they fit in to the squad. So not just having square pegs in square holes this summer, but they've all in terms of positions, but also how they slot into that puzzle in terms of changing room dynamics. So Josh Vickers, yeah, widely praised by, you know, Paul Warren previously, his old manager at Rotherham as well, Matt Taylor. And yeah, it's going to be some very good competition for Joe Wildsmith, who had, you know, had a good season. Hopefully he can push Wildsmith on. We've got two top goalies there. Behind them, of course, Scott Loach, who has signed a new one-year deal to remain at the club. Another good character to have around, basically, is what we've been hearing. And, you know, he wants to move into coaching. He can help with coaching, which you kind of do to an extent as a third choice. It's just a good fit. And you've got Callum Elder, the Australian left-back. He comes in from Hull, where he's played, I think, 29 games in each of the last two seasons in the Championship. Was, like Joe Ward, was in the League One Team of the Year the end of the 2020-21 season, in which Hull got promoted, as did Peterborough. And yeah, another one with you know, proven to be good at this level, you know, decent in the Championship, very good for League One, has that winner's medal. And it's evidence of what Paul Warren was saying in his interview last week when he was talking about trying to tempt players in who probably shouldn't even be playing at this level and should be playing the level above. I think these are the sorts of signings he was hinting at, players that were maybe not to be guaranteed starters in the Championship, but very good in League One, or, you know, in the case of Joe Ward, just wanted a new challenge.
Yeah, he was offered, Elder was offered a new deal at all as well, wasn't he? So that's a, you know, that's testament that Derby can attract those type of players. And you've kind of touched on it there, Jack, and it was something I was going to ask you, Corey, as well as obviously have your opinion on the start to the transfer business. Obviously, listen to that interview with Paul Warren and listen to obviously the three interviews of the players coming in. Now, don't get me wrong, a player's not going to sit there and go, I don't want to be here, I've only come for the money. I get all that. But I don't know if I'm just being optimistic or what about it. Or I listen to the interviews and they just come across different types of character. And the big word character is what Paul Warren has worked. Obviously, they've got to be fit. They've got to be willing to run. They've got to be able to be developed, but they've got to have a character. There's got to be something about them. And I think so far, all three, and I know you're not going to get every single one right. If we could bring 10 in like that and walk the league, fantastic. Probably won't happen. But so far, for me, obviously, well-known names in League One, the peak age, as we've said. And so far, I think the attitude of them from, obviously, the very little that we've seen in what, four-minute interview clips, they come across as the right fit for Paul Warren. And we've said he is going to be judged, probably not just on this transfer window, of course, but, you know, those first core seven or eight signings that you'd expect to then be his main starting 11, and then obviously bit part around it to build a squad. I would say that these players, maybe not the goalkeeper, but these the other two, Ward and Elder, they're coming in to be first teamers, in my opinion, Corey. And so far, I think they've solved two problems that we've got. We needed wing backs. We've brought them in. Now let's get in a centre half and somebody who can put the ball in the back of the net.
Good God, we're actually going to play with actual fullbacks this season. Whoa, man, what a time to be alive. Square pegs and square holes. Wow, that's unbelievable.
That's not the Derby way.
Yeah, that's the new Derby way. Right before we give away Jason Knight for peanuts and be like, sorry, keeping it on incomings. I'm really excited about these three signings. I think when you look at them, we have blogs on our website about all three of the players we talked to, some journalists and some fans to get their insights on these players. So if you're interested in that, you see it on our social medias or go to our website and you can read more about them there. We might even link them to the show notes here in this podcast. But, you know, when you look at it, you know, what you said there was a couple of things. One, they're all kind of in that prime age area, that bracket that we were kind of missing, 20, 27, 25 to 28. You know, we know last season Joe Wildsmith had a fantastic season. We also know that he didn't have any competition. So if he didn't have a great season, kind of tough luck. That was who we had. We had Joseph Anang broke his arm. Luke McGee never played, and Scott Loach just played a few cup games. I think the thing that stood out to me about this Josh Vickers signing was I spoke to the Rotherham United podcast, New York Talk, and they said that he can be one of the best goalkeepers in League One. Like, that was a definite. He was fantastic for him last time he was up. So I think that, you know, he's brought, I think Joe Wildsmith will start the season as number one, but Joe Wildsmith needs to up his game and Joe Wildsmith needs to continue to improve, because I think he's going to start to realize when he reports next Thursday, he's got some serious competition behind him. And I think that can only be a good thing, because if Joe Wildsmith, I know when we talked to the Sheffield United players, fans and reporters last year, that he was a bit of a confidence player and that he had never really had a full run in the team. He's had a full run in the team. He's an established number one. So let's get that mentality right and let's see if you can maintain that. And if you can't, we've got Josh Vickers waiting in the wings. Not to say that I'm advocating for Josh Vickers to start over Joe Wildsmith. I'm not. But, you know, it gives him some serious competition and some serious food for thought. Callum Elder coming in, fantastic player. You know, came from Hull City, plays as a left fullback. Defender first and foremost. That's what I was told by the Hull City fans. That was a defender first and foremost. He can get torched by pace sometimes, but it's League One. So can all the defenders. But solid player, you know, he's obviously played for his country. He's not really in the international setup anymore, which I think is a good thing, because I don't know if you guys realize Australia is a really long way away from the United Kingdom. So I wouldn't want him going away on international breaks, like on a 15-hour flight. That's kind of unnecessary. He didn't get a look in the championship. He probably won't get a look in the League One. That's perfectly fine. I was with you, Jason. I was very impressed with his interview to come on. Obviously, he's not going to slate the club he's just signed for. The way he spoke and the confidence that he alluded and exuded from there, I thought this guy is happy to be at this football club. We're good to have him. And again, in that prime age on a 3-year contract, I think can only do wonders. And then Joe Ward, you know, coming in from Peterborough. I think the thing that stood out to me, Jason, is that he was Peterborough's longest serving player. And having met Darren McAnthony and having spoke to Darren McAnthony, he doesn't keep players around that are crap because he gets rid. Okay. So Joe Ward's fantastic. And I think, you know, they offered him a new deal. He just wanted a change of scenery. I think he still wants to play in the championship. He won't be playing in the championship this season, but maybe he sees Derby County as his ticket to get back to that higher level. Again, he's said on Twitter many times, he's not a right back, but as a wing back and playing in the back five, I think he'll be perfectly fine. He's got they from what I understand from the journalists and the fans that we spoke to, massive engine, run all day up and down the right hand side. He has a strike on him. He's decent at set pieces, and I think it's just the kind of things that we need. And I think what you said there, Jason, is just you have to prove at this level that you're available. Right? There's a couple of different things that help you as a footballer. We brought in James Chester last year, who was undoubtedly talented but never available. So basically, we could have brought someone in half as good as James Chester and played him, and it would have been better than having James Chester because he was never fit. And I think when you're bringing in these kind of players, they all, yes, did Vickers have a bit of an injury when Paul Warren was manager of Rotherham? Yes, he did. It happens with goalkeepers, not so much. I'm not so worried about that. But these players are fit, they're available, and they're ready. And I think that's the key thing, is these players are shown over several periods, several years consistently, that they can play 25 to 30 games and they can give you 7 out of 10 every week. And if you have enough 7 out of 10s every week, you'll end up getting out of this division, because that's what you need. You need consistent performers who are available to play week in and week out. And these players can do that. And I think it's just exciting it's an exciting time. I'm excited to see who comes next. I would anticipate that we probably end the transfer window with 10 to 12 new signings, kind of in around there. But it's interesting. It's going to help increase our bench, increase competition for players and spots. And, you know, overall add value and assets to this football club. So let's say it doesn't work out in a year, 18 months. We have a sellable asset because they're in prime age. If you're getting someone who's 33, 34, 35 years old, their resale value is next to nothing. We know what Derby do when they get younger players. They don't sell them for much money anyway. But you know, you can kind of recoup some stuff off of there. So it'll be interesting to see if David Clowes goes to the purse strings and pays a fee for a player. And I agree. I think, you know, center half is probably next. I think the striker is probably next. I think we would probably add a little bit more midfield depth as well, because we do know that it's a long and arduous season. People come in and out of form, and you have to have competition for those spaces. But I think what you said there, Jason, as well, when you look at their interviews, and the interviews just sounded different. The interviews just sounded different than the ones we've seen. I mean, last year they were okay. They were like average interviews when you get to a new club. Like, it's a big club. I mean, they say that at Forest Green. I remember saying that last year. Oh, I'm massive. To play for Forest Green Rovers, oh my God, what a massive club. Sure. Yeah. Sorry for all the Forest Green Rovers fans that are offended by listening to that. My apologies. But, you know, these players sound like a different, I'm not going to say different level, because that makes it sound like they're, you know, world superstars, Tony Kroos and stuff like that. It's not, it's League One football. But I think in terms of Derby County, there's definitely a shift. We're getting players in that can be fit and available. And then we're getting players that want to win, want to progress, and want to play at higher levels. And I think that if you get players in who have played in the championship, Ward's played in the championship, Elder's played in the championship, Vickers has played in the championship. When you have players who've played at higher levels, it's going to help elevate the entire squad. I remember when we sat down with Alan Hinton, if you remember, Jason, he said what happened, well, or sorry, Alan Durbin, right? He said Cluffy brought in Alan Hinton, Roy McFarland, and one other player. And all of a sudden the level went up and they knew that they were on a thing. And I think I'm not comparing these players to those players because it's not an apples to apples comparison. But I think when you bring players in who've had success, who are what you would call winners, right? They have had they've won throughout their career. They've played at higher levels. That's going to push on the whole group to do better. They're going to be those leaders of that pack to push the players that probably aren't at the same level further up the field. I'm super excited about it. I like what Derby are doing in terms of their, the blocks of signing. Not a big fan of the time, especially for me, because the other day I got the notification, it was 3 a.m. and I had to get up and immediately start working on blogs and graphics and things like that. So that was okay, but that's the dedication. That's what I signed up to do. But yeah, I like the blocks. I'm excited to see what the next block of signings is going to be. And I think the block is also important because it's not a scattergun approach. It is a, we've thought about this. We're methodical. We've got these deals under the line. We're going to release a couple of them. Then we're going to work on the next batch of players. You're not going to get always your main targets. But like you say, Jason, if we can get four or five more players in the quality of Elder and Ward and Vickers, the quality on paper, and they can stay consistent, and we can sign consistent performers who are 7, 7.5, 8 out of 10 week in and week out, then the sky's the limit for this football club and this squad.
Yeah, I think it's, as a, like you said, there was areas up and down the squad that needed these gaps plugging. They've plugged both sides. We know he wants to play with wing backs. He's brought in two wing backs. I don't think that's a surprise. He's brought in a backup goalkeeper. A little bit surprised he didn't go for Luke McGee, to be fair, because they'd already had him in. But obviously, he didn't like what he saw. And obviously, he's going with somebody who's tried and tested, probably not on a lot of money. Again, money, I know that obviously some restrictions were lifted, but of course, we've not got an endless pot. Working with somebody who's going to come in, probably know he's going to be number two to start off with. But again, the challenge, not bad signings. One position that obviously up front, we know we're screaming for, we're going to touch on it for the last couple of seconds of the podcast about outgoings. We've obviously lost our top goal scorer. So that is definitely an area that needs strengthening. And of course, we lost three centre-backs. So we are, I don't think we'll have another season where it's Fozzy and Cashin as the back two. I would fully imagine that he's going to look at that position as well. And then of course, maybe a conversation for further down the line, our club captain went. So who's Derby's new captain? Is it somebody who's already here? Obviously, we know that there's been rumours about players, one from Coventry City especially, who was potentially seen in Costco in Derby and all that kind of thing. And we was going to slap him and give him the captain's armband. Obviously, that one's not quite been announced yet. Wouldn't be surprised to see a player announced on the same day as the shirt's announced, in with the shirt on, with an armband as the new Derby captain. I'm no inside knowledge of that, but I can see that that might be the way that they do it. And then, like you say, a bit more midfield bite. But I think there's other areas of the pitch that they need to nail down. Like you say, focus on the block. The centre back position's got to be looked at. The strikers have got to be looked at before we look at what was the strongest part of our team last year, the midfield. It needs a bit of legs and a bit more legs in there. But I have to say, if we were to go with what we've got, Orhan, Sibley, Smith, Bird,
we would be
I,
okay.
I don't think I'd be too worried. But going the whole season,
it's serviceable, right?
Yeah.
It's serviceable. It's not great. It's not crap. And I think the key is there, Jason. The next key point in recruitment, and you know, I'm not stating something here that's trend setting or anything like that, is we lost about 25 goals with David McGoldrick in addition to 10 assists. So we have to find 25. We have to find. Pardon, Jack.
16 points as well.
Yeah, and 16 points, right? Because Jack did that math. David McGoldrick was worth 16 points there, obviously. So we have to find 16 points from somewhere, and we have to find 25 goals. And we have to do that in some sort of combination, whether it's a striker and a goal-scoring winger or a central midfield attacking player or someone who can chip in with 4 or 5 goals from the back. You can do that by chipping in with various different players in various different areas, but it helps a lot if you have goal scorers. The problem is goal scorers cost money. Money is something we aren't flushed with. They've got more money than me, but, you know, Hopefully we can do something, and we'll have the right targets to do that, or set the team up to make those weaknesses a strength by playing a different way or a different style, or you know, playing 9 at the back and keeping them out for 90 minutes and just getting a point. You know, you never know. Crazier things have happened. But I think for the first week of the transfer window, Jason and Jack, I think I can speak for all of us to say, you know, it's going in the right direction. It's trending in the right way. And right now, it's a big thumbs up for the business that's been done, but more business still to do. Jason, some business that still needs to be done is the future of two players that have been reportedly looked at as two of the main assets. One is Christian Bielik. We know Birmingham City is interested in him. We've been reading reports that Birmingham, from John Percy in the Telegraph, that Birmingham prepared up to pay up to, hold your breath, guys, £1 million for Christian Bielik. Yep, I know, shocking. And Jason Knight, has had two bids rejected from Bristol City, the last one being £1.5 million. They're getting closer on that deal, but we've also learned that there's Stoke and Ipswich have also entered the race for his services as well. So hopefully there'll be a little bit of a bidding war. But let's first talk about Jason Knight, Jack. Knighty, full Irish international, played at Derby's, played, you know, over 150 odd times or whatever. Still very young, box to box midfielder. But it does kind of feel like, unfortunately, it might just be time for a change. It seems it's gone a little bit stale. We know Knighty wants to play at a higher level. And, you know, we all think that these players are worth more value than what they are. They're only worth what someone's willing to pay for them. And in all honesty, Jack, if you look in the bigger picture, which I know you do, $1.5 million, $2 million, $2.5 million wouldn't be bad for a team in League One, would it? Really, really, an actual fact.
No, I mean, there's a couple of points here. Is that one, as you say, they're only worth what people are willing to pay. Bielik and Knight both only have 1 year remaining on their contracts and want to play at a higher level, so we'll just leave for free next summer. So, you know, people saying, well, this would be bad business. Yeah, they're worth more than that. You know, a player of their quality, you'd want more than what we're rumoured to be getting for them. But is having Jason Knight for one more year worth £2 million? That becomes the question. In the same way I look at Daniel Levy putting £100 million price tag on Harry Kane, who's almost certainly going to leave Spurs at the end of his contract, you would imagine. You know, is one more season of Harry Kane worth £100 million to Tottenham? Same question. Is having Knight and Bielik for one more year when they don't want to be around, when they want to be
playing? I think you're right. I think that's an interesting point, and I think that you can run into a situation where you play in the other year and they go, we're not going to re-sign another contract because you've held us up from a move, and you lose them for nothing. You use them for peanuts in a tribunal. And I think, you know, when you read reports that it's $1.5 to $2 million, we know what kind of transfer market is inflated these days. But you have to consider Derby is a League One team. Jason Knight is a Republic of Ireland international team, but they're not a top 10, 15, 20 team in the world. You know, they're not a real top elite team. He's playing in League One. Yeah, he's played a lot of games, but he's played him at the lower end of the championship. He's played him in League One. And, you know, if we're in the Premier League, we probably get $10 million for him, but we're not in the Premier League. So, you know, it's a good point. And I think, to be honest with you, Jack, I mean, I'm sure Jason would agree. I don't know. We're going to bring Jason in on this in a minute. it's better for me to have the cash in my hand so I can rebuild the squad. Because if you have two, let's say you get $2.5 million, so you get $3 million for both of them. You know, one, you're getting wages off the books. You're replacing with players on lower wages, potentially. And you're able to maybe get three or four players in for that money. And so your net outlay is maybe negligible. You can bring four players in for two. And that can help the squad overall. And I think that that's the key there, is we have to get as much assets as what we can. Jason, quickly your thoughts on Jason Knight, and then Christian Bielik for £1 million, reportedly. We still owe Arsenal money on that transfer deal. One, terrible bit of business for Christian Bielik in hindsight, going back to the Mel Morris era, but we were to never know. But £1 million for a player that has been pretty solid for Derby over the years, and would have been a much better player had he not had two torn ACLs. We had not had financial strife. We were not playing in League One, and we could have been a little bit more consistent. So I think it's probably the right time, isn't it, Jason? We have to cash out. And £1 million, while it seems low, might actually not be the worst amount of money we could possibly get.
I look at it in two ways, Corey. I think the money owed to Arsenal, I think David Clough settled in the thing. So basically what this goes down to, because Derby had a reset, call it £1 million, is £1 million net profit. So you have to forget about what happened before. We have to, and look at it and go, we've made £1 million on that player. And that's what it will go, the finances it will go against now. It won't go back against before. We went into administration. We had our books wiped, pretty much, simple as that. So it's £1 million coming in. If you are led to believe rumours, he's about 25% of the wage bill on his own. That is, if he was willing and wanting to stay, maybe he could be a catalyst of going up. But I think a 25% of a wage bill, when you've got to bring in 12, probably bring in 10 players, I just don't think the maths. I don't think the maths work, Corey. So, Bielik,
and you want to make sure that you're right by the player as well. If the player doesn't want to be at Derby County, we know Christian Bielik is an ambitious young man, and this is not a knock at him, because you know he was signed for Derby. He's not a Derby lad. He's not somebody who grew up in the academy, and that's okay. I think if all three of us were playing for Derby County right now and Real Madrid came in for us, I think we know what the answer would be. Ultimately, we would all stay at Derby for the rest of our careers in League One. No, you know what I mean? Eventually, you're going to realize, yeah, it's my boyhood club, but eventually I have to go back and do something else. Like David McGoldrick, he loved Notts County. He said, I'm going to play for Notts County again before I retire. He's played 15, 20 odd years, and he's going to go back to Notts County to finish his career. Fair play to him. But, you know, you don't want to keep a player, Jason, who doesn't want to be here. You don't want to slow up their progression in their career, because again, other players look at that and then they sit there and go, well, I want to go to Derby. If I go there and I don't do very well, they're going to keep me and kind of ruin my career. And it's probably just got a bit stale again. And it's the time really for all parties to move on. But you're right. You have to kind of look at it as, we have a player, he's worth this amount of money, and what we paid for him and whatever, it's irrelevant at this point in time. We have to just make sure we can get it off the books. And if you're on 25% of the wage bill, you got to be doing 25% of the work. You best be popping him in 50, 60 goals a season. So
yeah, well,
no one's doing that.
No, exactly. And I mean, what will he be now? 24, 25 sort of age?
Yeah,
probably.
25, I think.
So he's getting into that, you know, he's getting into, if you want to call it, peak years. Let's face it, he's not going to want to be at League One. And even if he was to stay and then Derby going to the Championship, I don't think we'd still be able to really afford his wages. So I think you wipe that one. And thank you for everything that he's done. And that's that. Jason Knight is an interesting one. I weren't impressed with him last season, Corey, at all. I don't think he fits into a Paul Warne style of football. Yes, he'll run and run and run and run, but his end product, he doesn't bring anything else. He doesn't necessarily pick up the ball from the edge of the 18-yard box and run it to our 18-yard box. These are the things that, in the way that Paul Warne is going to want to play, I just don't think Jason Knight does them. He is very good at what he does, and he'll run round and he'll rat and he'll press. And I know, obviously, a big part of Paul Warne's play is press. But I look at it again, is he going to be a first-namer on the team sheet? And I have to probably say no. I might get a lot of abuse for that.
I think we shoehorned him into playing last season into fullback, because I think he was promised game time and they realized there's not really a spot for you. I mean, if you look at the midfield, is Jason Knight, I think we can all agree, is a better midfielder than he is a defender.
Yeah,
and he is a right back. And that's fine. And that's Jason Knight's best position. When you look at it, Max Bird is going to start for us next season if he's here. Carl Hernahan is too experienced and too good to be sitting on the bench in this thing. So that leaves one spot that's attacking midfield. It's Louis Sibley, it's Jason Knight, it's Corey Smith. You know, it's a real position of strength. We know that.
And or bringing somebody else in as well, because you'd think correct. That Paul's going to want to bring somebody in.
You know,
yeah.
You might be able, Paul Warren might switch it and just play with the two midfielders in a back five. So, you know, where does Jason Knight fit in at the end of the day? You know, unless you have someone who's a bang on guaranteed starter. And I think the thing that you talked about there, Jason, is the thing that does it for me is Jason Knight runs and runs and runs and runs and runs. And that's fantastic. That's what he's known for. That's what we all want to see as fans. We want to see players that give 100%. But Jason Knight's done that now for like 3 years. Where is the next step? Where is the goal scoring midfielder? Where is the creative type? Where is the player that's, you're not going to get past me. Ball's going to get past me, or man's not going to get past me, but both's not going to get past me. And the work rate's fine, but you can replace a work rate. I can replace a work rate by having a guy that goes for an hour and another guy that comes on at half an hour and just, you know, as they say, balls to the wall, just runs like a maniac for 90 minutes. But Jason Knight, you know that there's more in his locker. You know that he's waiting to be unlocked. You know that there's goals in his game, but I don't know where they're coming from in a Derby shirt. And I think in order for his career to progress and for Derby to move on, you know, we have to be able to get assets that are going to be able to help the team. Does Jason Knight really, really help this Derby team a tremendous amount? Or is he irreplaceable? I mean, this is someone who's played nearly 200 times for Derby, and we're sitting there going, well, he could go tomorrow.
Again, it goes down to the other thing as well. He's got 1 year left in his deal. If he was to stay and we went up, would he stay with us in the Championship? I honestly can't say yes or no answer to that question. So if he's not, I'm not saying he's not committed. That is not what I'm saying. But you need that commitment. To tie it all together, we've seen three players come in on 3 year deals. If we're going to be in a similar position in 12 months' time, are we going to keep this player? Are we going to keep that player? Is that player staying? Because of contract negotiations, and of course, there'll be more next season with others who obviously have signed, who signed 2 year deals last year. It's more about if you can commit now, you need to commit. I understand the reasonings behind why Jason Knight probably doesn't want to commit, and all the best to him. But I don't think, as Jack said earlier, like Harry Kane at Tottenham, I mean, to them, he probably is worth 100 million if he gets him into the champ. If that's the difference between them getting in the Champions League or not, then maybe 100 million's worth it. But at our level at League One, I don't think the margins are like that. If Jason Knight stayed, played every game, scored 10 goals, it'd soon be off. Because bigger teams in the Championship would be looking around him. So I think Derby, unfortunately, they're on a little bit of a lose-lose with it either way. I personally think if, and I don't know if that's 2 million straight, 200 grand up front, you know, and £2 million worth of add-ons, whatever it may well be, the deal will have to be right, I think, for us to sell. I think if you do get that balance, and as we've said, a million, 2 million, whatever it may well be, that can be put into the squad to look to the future and not just look at the next 12 months of Derby County, but look at the next 2 to 3 years of Derby County. I think you'd be crazy to not do that unless you'd really got a talent on your hands. And as I say, and as you've said there, Corey, Jason Knight is a talent. He's not matured as well as I think
not
we
what
were
we
expecting.
Need right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can I just leave one final point in terms of wrapping this up? So what we're talking about in terms of recruitment, in terms of players, do they stay, do they go, is character and a lot of psychology of the players, how they all fit together. If Jason Knight stays, is his head going to be turned at every opportunity because he wants to play at a higher level and that sort of thing? Now, go back a couple of months to the event I attended at Pride Park in which Paul Warren spoke, and he was, you know, when he was speaking about recruitment and things and importance of character, he said something, and this just came back to me as you guys were talking. He said something really interesting about how much importance he places on like sports psychology and the fact that if he could have, he wishes he could have a survey that he could get every player to complete before they sign, kind of see their mentality and things like that. And that's the sort of thing that this is going to come down to. Again, are they going to be in the right frame of mind, 100% committed to Derby, or do they want to go elsewhere? Do they tick enough boxes on this kind of metaphorical survey? Now, he's not going to be able to get this survey. You know, he said himself, you know, it's the sort of thing that it's probably not ever actually going to happen, but it's the sort of thing in an ideal world he wished he could have. And every player that comes in is going to have to tick a fair amount of these boxes. Likewise, every player who's already here to keep their place is going to have to tick a fair amount of these boxes and be the right fit, not just in terms of physically being able to run and run and run, as Paul Warren demands, but willingness, which, as I say, Jason Knight, as we've all said, Jason Knight absolutely has. But if he wants to take the next step in his career, as you guys have said, does him reaching the next level take him going somewhere else? Probably does.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. And that pretty much does it for the podcast. I'd say one thing, obviously, I don't think we have mentioned. I don't know if we mentioned this on the sort of the back end of the last season. Obviously, players who have left, Richard Stearman, Curtis Davis, absolute legend of a club captain. But I could see that deal was not going to be done. James Chester as well. And I'm probably forgetting somebody. But of course, the big one, we've mentioned him all along, David McGoldrick. There's not really anything to say about it other than thank him for last season. Without him, we certainly wouldn't have been finished where we did. And, you know, he brought us an interest. If only he was a few years younger, you know, and all that. But that's the reason why he's played at the upper echelons for the majority of his career. And, I mean, he is going to... Anybody who's a betting man, get your money on McGoldrick to be scoring week in, week out in League Two. He is going to be an absolute firecracker in that division, even at the ripe old age of, what, 35, 36. So, from the Ramsbury podcast, we want to say thank you. Of course, Aidan Roberts was the other one. We were rumoured a Championship club's come in for him. We can't compete with that. We thank Aidan, as we did on his personal Instagram. And we got a nice little reply back. So, that was all cool. We don't put that out in the public domain. We're not begging for views and things like that. But you know, we do send these little messages just as a nice little thing, and it's always nice to get a little message back. But for a start of a season podcast, lads, that's been a steady one. I'm hoping if the next couple are like this between now and going through pre-season before we get towards that 5th of August, we're going to have a lot of positivity to talk about. I'm sure throughout the season we might have a bit of negativity to talk about. Wouldn't be Derby County without it, obviously. But hopefully it's just talking about how rubbish certain players have been rather than anything off the field. But that's it for this first episode of the new season. They're not quite going to be weekly yet, because obviously there's not a great deal to talk about, but as soon as there is something to talk about, we will gather together probably after a couple of the friendlies, see how pre-season's gone, hopefully a few more names through the door, anything, obviously, unless there's a big marquee signing, then we might do a special one. And as we say, keep your eyes out for that next Rams Review Meets episode that'll be dropping probably in about a week's time, to allow this one a bit of airtime as well. But as always, it's been nice to get the band back together. And Corey, obviously, it's been nice to see you. We've continued to speak, but obviously we've not seen too much of each other, as I've been sending you random non-league football grounds when I've been driving around the country and things like that. It's been fun. And Jack, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for joining us again. And all aboard another roller coaster of the roller coaster of Derby County for yet another season. But as I say, I'm sure we're all looking forward to it. But Jack, thank you very much for joining.
Yeah, thank you.
Corey, as always.
I've got nothing to plug. It's weird.
Well, Jack, you can plug. I'll shamelessly plug our blogs once again. Head to our website. You could read the blogs or the insights of fans and journalists on our new signings to find out what they could potentially bring to the Rams. And like Jason said, it's a pleasure to be back with everyone. Thank you so much for your support. And everything like that. But without your support, we'd just be shouting into a vacuum. So really, really appreciate it. And don't forget to be on the lookout for the special Rams Review Meets over the next week to 10 days after this episode publishes. And then we'll be back, hopefully, tail end of the preseason fixtures with some more tasty conversation and things like that. And stay tuned throughout the season. We continue to have special guests. But thank you so much for everybody for listening and just being a part of this journey. We really appreciate it.
We do. And as always, it's not just about football on the Ramsbury podcast. There will be plenty of other bits and pieces to be done. We want to really try and get fans involved a bit more than probably we have actually. We've had different voices on, but there's other ways that we can go about that. We're always looking at ways to improve, and that's definitely something that we are going to be looking at doing over the course of the season. It's the first of many, fingers crossed. One down and probably another, 40 odd podcasts to go for the season. But I'm looking forward to it and I'm enjoying it. But that's all for this episode. We'll see you soon, and up the Rams. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Rams Review podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at RamsReview1. Our Facebook is Rams Review Podcast, or you can drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, up the Rams.